Let me tell you the story of a soldier named Dan.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Art of the Protest Song, Sunday, November 12th at 2 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society in Portland. The Art of the Protest Song partners the Oregon Historical Society with four local folk musicians to present a showcase of popular and topical protest songs from the Kennedy era, as well as original songs focused on contemporary issues. This event is free and open to the public. Again, that's the Art of the Protest Song, Sunday, November 12th at 2 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society, 1200 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's time for Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening. Join us with Labor Radio this evening. We have a guest host this evening. Michael Morrow is off traveling, I think, in Mexico or Europe. Or I don't know where he is. The guest host this evening is Susan Stoner, who's been with us numerous times, and I'm Lane Ponce. Good evening, Susan.
Hello, Lane.
You've been off traveling, too.
Yes, that's true. I'm glad to be home.
I'm glad you got back in time for our show. And this evening, we will be covering the topic of who Indivisible is, which is a group in town that's doing a lot of political work. And they may or may not know a lot about unionism, but we're hoping that we can help them be informed as well as have them inform us of what they're doing. So Indivisible guests tonight, Megan Cleland and Smitha Chidaga.
Yes.
How'd I do?
You did well.
Okay, good. Why don't we just go jump into some introductions? Megan, why don't you tell us how long you've been involved with Indivisible and what your interests are in that group, and then we'll move on to Smitha. Dr. Smitha.
Yes, like you said, my name is Megan Cleland. I have been involved with this particular Indivisible group, Indivisible Oregon, since about early February. I got involved, I think, in political work while the 2016 election was still going on, but got really activated right after the travel ban, I think, and just kind of dove in. My wife and I had just gotten married in October, and we were a little terrified that all these things that we've been working for years were going to be taken away. And so I just sent a Facebook message and said, let me get involved. And I've been doing that full time.
And you are the guru for the technical stuff?
I'm the geek squad, one of the geek squads. And work on our website, still working on our website, handle social media, work on like free tools. We're all volunteer run. And so it's really important for us to find things that we can use that are free. Can spread information, things like that. So that's my job. I look for stuff that we can use.
Okay, and we'll go into more of the goals and the direction that Indivisible takes and how it was originated after the introduction from the doctor.
Thank you. As you mentioned, my name is Smitha Chidaga. So my day job is that I'm an internal medicine physician. I'm a hospitalist. I take care of inpatient physicians at Emanuel Hospital. I, like Megan, came to Indivisible in the spring. So I was drawn to Indivisible due to the fight for the ACA. It has changed my job and made it so that I can provide people the care that they need as a physician. I think in terms of being active politically, I always thought I was. I felt like I phone banked or I, you know, made donations. But after the election, I realized I had not been working for my democracy and that I needed to do more. And so I searched. I searched for a long time to different groups and tried things out. And Indivisible Oregon was the one that spoke to me the most. And I'm really happy with the work that I'm doing there. I'm on the policy team, and I head the policy team now. And what we do is we have six daily calls to action where you call your congressional delegation and ask for something very particular, whether it be legislation, or nominations. And then we also go to our senator's office every week, and we have a very specific ask for them. And so I'm just very excited what Indivisible has done in these few months since the election. And I can't wait to see what we do next.
Maybe it'd be helpful to kind of understand exactly what Indivisible does.
Okay. I mean, Indivisible means a lot of things to a lot of different people. But in general, the Indivisible movement started right after the election. It was around Thanksgiving-ish time that the founders, who were former congressional staffers, sat down and were just sort of, what do we do? You know, this man is president. And they were congressional staffers during the Tea Party Revolution in 2009, 2010. And they remembered those tactics and said, we can use those tactics. I mean, democracy works. If you interact with your federal members of Congress, it can work. And they saw that in 2009 and 2010. So they wrote this guide. It was a Google document, I believe. They just put it on the internet sometime in December, and it went viral. The server crashed. Everyone was looking for a way to be active in their democracy. And many people have chosen the Indivisible movement. So each group does their own thing. You can, as long as you're willing to work with your members of Congress and to resist this this administration in a progressive way, you're part of the Indivisible movement. You can have two people in your group. You can have 10,000 in your group. There are at least two groups in every county in the United States. And we are part of Indivisible Oregon, one of about 15 groups here in Portland.
Okay, so there's 15 groups. So we're, as you know, the radio program is called Labor Radio. And Susan is very much involved in the labor movement, and she had not heard of Indivisible. So our attempt here is to get your work up and known to the labor community. And we also would like to know, what kind of inroads would you like to make with people that are involved in the labor movement?
Basically what we have tried to do, what our group's focus is defensive congressional action with our members of Congress, and making sure that we're just holding them accountable. So we make sure that we're focused on federal, we meet with them, and we kind of make them work for us. I think because it was such a spontaneous movement all at once, we're just now in the stages where we're going to be able to build coalitions and try to work around partnering with organizations, working with members of Congress, and working on legislation that kind of helps the progressive movement. So that's kind of where we are now. We're still building. There are groups that are building constantly. It's all volunteer. And so it's basically just time that we need to kind of get organized and get connected with people.
How do you decide what issues you want to present to the congressional folks? And then also, what is the last issue that you guys were really putting your heart and soul into in terms of communicating with the congressional folks?
So the policy team usually decides the issues that we call on about the week. And I mean, we're informed by a huge community. So Indivisible Oregon members contribute on a social media platform just what their thoughts are. But we kind of watch what's going on in the nation. We take direction from the Indivisible Guide. There's, as Megan had mentioned, a lot of groups popped up right after the election. And so there are all these different groups, each finding their own niche of what they provide. And there's a lot of groups that provide nice summaries of things that are going on and actions to take. And so we reviewed those resources, whether it be fivecalls.org or indivisible.org. There's a couple of newsletters to which you can subscribe called like Wall of Us or React, and they all make recommendations of how to call your congressional members. What we do is we take those things, we digest them, and we make them applicable to Oregon. And so we will say, you know, here is a script to call Representative Walden. Here is a script to call Senator Merkley. And so we tailor it so you're not taking a more generalizable script. You're taking something that's for Oregon. And so we try to look at what's going on in the nation. But we do have a few areas of focus. I would say the big area that we had pretty much all summer long was the ACA. We would, you know, do it once a week and then twice a week. And we even spent weeks doing it at a time of making calls every day. And right now, our big fight, honestly, is the tax fight. We are very concerned about what this latest budget process will bring and the quote-unquote tax reform that is being touted, which is basically giving away all of the money to the wealthy and making everyone else pay for those tax cuts. So that's our next big push. But, you know, on a weekly basis, like this week, we're talking about women's rights. We're talking about healthcare and the CHIP funding. We're talking about taxes. We're also talking about, you know, worldwide politics and authorization of military force. So it changes every week. On the policy team, those members, you know, spend about anywhere from 5 to 10 hours of their own time volunteering to make those things happen.
And then just to add to what Smith is saying, part of what we do is not necessarily impose our own kind of legislative agenda on people, but it's really, we have a gathering every Tuesday at one of our senator's office. Groups are, it's an open meeting that you can talk to the Senate staff. We've developed a kind of great relationship with our Senate, with the staffers at the Portland office, and they are really open to hearing ideas. They work for us. We go there and we talk to them about what we can do, about what's coming up on the docket as far as the agenda in Congress. And I think part of what we kind of see ourselves as is a way to help to show people that you are supposed to engage with your members of Congress. That's kind of the way that the system was designed. I think one thing that's been really amazing to watch is just how much it works. And so I think that we've seen in a lot of the talks that we've had in the leadership is just how can we kind of facilitate people or groups interacting with their members of Congress. So even if we're not aligned on a particular policy, our tactics are available, you know, to we just want to get more people involved in talking about their own issues.
So are you focusing mostly on Merkley and Wyden, or are you also focusing on the folks in Congress, the representatives?
Right. So there are district groups that are doing great work. We try to amplify their voices, but also Smitha and the policy team write actions and scripts to call any of those members of Congress. You can look at our Facebook page, facebook.com/indivisibleOregon, and every day except we take Saturday, Smitha takes Saturday off because she's a doctor and she has to save lives. But so we have actions every day, and you can kind of take those, you can make them your own. You don't even have to agree with us. You could just call your member of Congress and tell them what you think. But we try to amplify other district groups, but we do concentrate mainly on the senators when we're talking about town halls and things like that. Mm-hmm. But we try to make it as Oregon focused and give as many resources as possible.
Mm-hmm. One of the resources you were talking about is the Indivisible Guide.
Mm-hmm.
How do you access the Indivisible Guide if you're interested in that document?
So they actually just came out with a new website. It's amazing. It's indivisible.org. If you go to that website, all of their resources are there. So you can find the original guide, which is actually just a few pages. It talks about how to call your member of Congress, how to go to a town hall.
What they care about.
Yes, how to set up a meeting, and what ways of communication are fruitful. So calling your member of Congress is very fruitful. You know, you are their boss. Calling somebody else's member of Congress is not something that's going to help you at all. They're just going to shut off the phones because they're going to say there are interlopers calling on our phone lines. They're not representing our constituents and they just won't listen. So it goes through practical things like that, but it's moved so much beyond that original, you know, 20-something page document. It has all sorts of resources, how to start a group, how to talk to the media, how to go to a town hall. And then it has explainers on everything, you know, from, you know, what is this administration doing to harm our national security, explaining all sorts of odd congressional procedures. So it is a great resource to understanding how to interact with your government. But it will give you tools about how to not necessarily push your agenda, but as Megan said, make yourself heard. This is how we participate in democracy. And it shows you the tools to do it so you can be most effective for your cause.
And one way people can just show up, both on the mm-hmm. Tuesdays, every Tuesday, mm-hmm. you guys meet somewhere.
Tomorrow we'll be at Merkley's office, 121 Southwest Salmon, World
Downtown,
Trade Center.
Yeah.
Downtown,
yeah.
But that's what the amazing thing is it literally takes an email. Like, you can look on their website and find and email them and say, I want a constituent visit, and someone will meet with you. It probably won't be the senator, but his staff, they are obligated to pass on the message. Mm-hmm.
How do you measure success?
Good question.
And I think we're still developing the answer to that. I mean, I think initially, there's a couple of different measures of success. There's measures of success for the whole movement, you know, like what is Indivisible globally. And I think we had a huge measure of success this summer when we were able to stop the repeal of the ACA.
Three times.
Yes.
That's sometimes known as Obamacare.
Yes.
And I mean, that only stopped because constituents went out. They spoke, they marched, they called. And that, I feel like, was really a large part of this movement and all the other progressive causes joining together. I think on a group level, you know, we look at our engagement levels, just whether it be on, you know, social media and also our engagement at Resist Trump Tuesday. And just getting the word out and empowering people to make that phone call or to show up. And the more that we can empower constituents to do this and to participate with our government, you know, the more success that our group will have and, frankly, our country will have.
Go ahead.
So Indivisible is a national organization, a loosely organized national organization. How does it fare in the deeply red states? What stories do you hear from there?
So I did... I have seen one clip, and I think it's from Florida, where essentially, I think it was Tom Yolo, was that his name? Yeah, Smith is nodding.
I believe so, yes.
Where from the stage, we were talking about Trump's tax returns and releasing them, and he told a story about how an Indivisible member sat down and basically said, don't you think we should need this? And he said, and she changed my mind. And he's in a really red state. One thing that we've noticed with our particular senators, it's very difficult to prove that something would or would not have happened if something didn't happen. If we hadn't shown up and like and gotten really loud about the ACA, but we have pushed our senators and members of Congress. They're all members of Congress, but our reps and our very, very interested in the nomenclature here. But senators and our reps to get very loud about resisting kind of the dangerous agenda of Trump and his entire cabinet. Where they're on TV a whole lot more than they used to be, holding rallies, holding more and more town halls, and kind of being a leader of kind of this progressive and outspoken resistance, which has been really amazing to see. It's hard to say what would have happened if we weren't all showing up, but it's been kind of amazing to watch.
But there have been successes in red states, I think. I mean, as I think we mentioned, you know, this is a national organization, and there are at least two Indivisible groups per county in the United States. So every red county has them. And, you know, just the other day when Jeff Flake came out and gave his speech talking mm-hmm. about this administration and saying he was going to resign, you know, Indivisible Arizona had done a lot to hold him accountable and to get him to that point. And so I think it goes to show that no matter where you are, you can interact and you can have an effect on your member of Congress.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7, and our guests here tonight are talking about the Indivisible National Program that gets people involved in politics and tries to push the agenda for progressive thoughts and actions. And I thank you both for coming so we can continue this conversation. What have you been working on just this week?
I think our big thing is, so tomorrow at Resist Trump Tuesday, as Megan said, at Senator Merkley's office, we're going to be talking about the tax plan. So, I mean, today was a big day on the national scene with everything going on with the Russia investigation. And, you know, those people are doing their job. You know, I can't do that job for them. So I need to concentrate on my job, which is to make my members of Congress work for me. And so what I want them to do is to go out there and be loud about this tax plan. This tax plan is bad for America. It's going to give money all to the wealthy. It's going to cut, as a result, all of our public programs, be it Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. And then, you know, there's all these other tiny little cuts that will affect individual people, you know, whether it be retirement savings or reducing the state and local tax deduction. More people are going to be hurt by this. The people who are going to be helped are the extremely wealthy and, frankly, our president himself. And because we have not seen his tax returns, we don't know how much this will help him. So that is our huge focus this week, to stay on target, because the GOP is planning on getting this passed by Thanksgiving. They think we're not paying attention. They think we're all tired from the summer, from the ACA. They think they can do some hocus pocus with numbers and hide things here and there. And frankly, I bet they're hoping we're kind of paying attention to what's going on with Russia, and they can just sweep this under the rug. And we're here to say that is not going to happen. We are paying attention. You are going to hear us. And that is our big focus for this week.
Now, so tomorrow you're meeting at Merkley's office mm-hmm. at noon.
We have a pre-meeting at 11:30 where we kind of go over our announcements. We introduce different organizations that are there. Have our announcements, and then kind of go over, if anyone wants to speak to the staff, go over our issue, kind of what we're asking for. And then usually around noon, the staff will come down, and that's when we...
Yeah, at Senators Merkley's office, they usually come a little bit afternoon. But I think that time before is a nice time for this coalition building. So we have different indivisible groups come. We have different progressive groups come. We just have people who want to interact. So if you're just wondering, how do I interact with my congressional delegation? Just come and take a look. You'll see all sorts of people there who just want to help our government work for us. Mm-hmm. And you can talk to them and get some tips from them. You can learn about this particular tax plan or other ways that your government works. And then you can see how talking mm-hmm. to the staff, or you can get your views there. And they send us feedback. So we ask them a very specific, concrete ask. We would like the senator to do X. In this case, we would like the senator to stop this tax plan and get Trump to show his taxes. And then they will give us feedback. You know, the senator says that he did A, B, and C on this, or he wrote this letter, or he intends to take these procedural actions to help our cause. And so you get that direct feedback loop, and that's something you can do in person, you know, with our group every Tuesday.
Right. And you mm-hmm. also take names and addresses and all of that. So once you're on that list, then you are notified of any future actions. Mm-hmm. The thing is about that feedback you get from the congressional people, where do you post that information?
Right now, we post it on our Facebook page. So whenever we get the feedback, we post it on our Facebook page.
And that, again, is Facebook.com.
Facebook.com/IndivisibleOregon.
Okay. All right. So, and it's not a secret society by
nope.
any means.
Nope.
And if they're not able to make it to Merkley's at 11:45 tomorrow, next week, they're over on the east side.
9/11 Northeast Holiday. Is that right?
I can't. It's Senator Wyden's office. I apologize. It's right by the mall.
Floyd Center.
Yeah, it's right Double across from
9/11 Northeast.
And right across from the MAX station.
11.
Right. The MAX takes you right there. Yep. And you can get off and see. Usually there's 30, 40 people?
We've actually, on average, 50 to 60 people that show up.
And it's not always the same people.
Nope.
Yeah. Every week, 50.
Yeah.
I mean, when the Indivisible Movement started, the thought was to do these Resist Trump Tuesdays for the first 100 days of his presidency. Mm-hmm. Enough success that we've sustained it.
How do you prevent, like, alt-right folks from crashing the party?
I don't know that we can. We've had discussions within the group about what to do if that happens. I don't know that we haven't really come to that bridge. But at the same time, when we have discussions about that, I think that, you know, we'll come with our particular legislative ask or discussion that we want to talk about. But it's an open meeting. You don't have to RSVP. They're also everyone who lives in Oregon. It's their senator too. We just really want to have people show up and talk and discuss ideas, and it's their right to talk to their senator as well. But I don't know that we've had that issue.
No, I mean, we definitely help coordinate and connect you with your member of Congress. We, as the host of this meeting, do have a specific ask that we will take to the senator. But you do have the right to speak to your congressional delegation. That being said, we are a nonviolent group, and we will not tolerate any racism or any hate speech. So, I mean, we do definitely have those values, and so we will not tolerate that. Mm-hmm. But that being said, we're not going to tell people what they are going to say to their elected official. They have that right.
Okay.
And just to clarify, it's 911 Northeast 11th Avenue is where Senator Wyden's office is.
Thank you.
And many people park in the mall.
They do.
And do their shopping later, right?
I do. I park by the little ice cream shop down there.
Or come in on Max.
And it's honestly, it's a really great people, really great time just to meet like-minded people, even if you're not particularly like knowledgeable on the subject. It's just a great place to kind of connect. And if you're interested, like in particular the labor movement, that would be a really great place to meet people who might also be interested in the labor mm-hmm. movement, and kind of build a coalition with whatever group that they represent, or maybe partner on an issue mm-hmm. that's important to the labor movement.
Is there just one Indivisible in Oregon, or is there smaller chapters?
There are a ton. So we are just one of the groups, and we're concentrating on mainly senators. But there are huddles that are just, you know, five people.
And throughout the state. I mean, like OR2 has an amazing organization there to mm-hmm. interact with our only Republican member of Congress of the federal delegation. And, you know, their scope is, you know, completely different than ours. I mean, they are looking at fundraising and they're looking at getting into the campaign. And so each group, I mean, there are probably, you know, tens of hundreds throughout all of Oregon. Each group has their own specific focus. There's another one in Portland called One Small Thing. It's a group that is kind of changing their focus. They spent a lot of time in the beginning, you know, getting information and providing this resource to people so that they could understand what's going on. And now they're moving towards actions where they're participating in state contests, whether it be in Washington or Virginia, to help keep things blue so we can have this progressive agenda throughout the country. So wherever you want to do your activism, you can find it in the Indivisible movement. I mean, you come and see us at Indivisible Oregon. If that doesn't work, we can help find a group that meets your activism or your political needs. We would love for you to come and participate in your government.
You're a clearinghouse. Do you have an office?
We do. It's our
living room.
Our living room, basically. Yeah,
we're all volunteers.
All 100% volunteer. I just want to add that if you go to indivisible.org, there's something called Act Locally, and you can click on that, put in your zip code, and it will show you the contact information for every group that is registered. There's over 6,000. Mm-hmm. It's radio, so you can't see Smitha's shirt, but she has a shirt on that shows all the little dots of the group, but there's a map. It's amazing to see, and you can find basically anything you're looking for there, and then contact them.
Okay. Well, we're coming to the end of our show. It goes so fast.
I know.
When there's
Thank
a lot of information so to impart. Did you have any final questions that you'd like to ask them?
No, I don't think so.
And will you be appearing at Trump Tuesday with me soon?
We would love to have you.
Yes.
I've gone several times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so fun. We chant, we sing, we have a grand old time. It's great. You're going to love it.
And you'd be surprised the people that show up from other areas of your life. You see mm-hmm. them there. So it's a nice, nice thing to do, especially in this good weather.
Mm-hmm.
And Merkley is undercover.
Yes. Wyden is not.
Wyden, you bring your umbrella.
We're working on it.
Merkley walks on water.
Yeah. We're kind of lucky right here.
Well, we are.
Do appreciate you spending time with us. I know it is volunteer time, and you're not saving lives while you're here. But we appreciate your time.
We're saving the country.
Yes, which is similar, isn't it?
It was good.
All right. All right. So we're closing down, and we will all we'll be back next week, Monday, 6 to 6:30. Labor Radio is here for you, and we hope that people out there with the labor movement contact these folks and see if you can use them as a resource also. So we're done.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Journalist, author, and activist David Barsamian will be speaking about the broad coalition in opposition to the Trump administration, which includes activists from a range of causes, progressive Democrats, and concerned Republicans. He'll be reflecting on the core issues at stake today and why so many people from such a range of identities and perspectives are challenging the administration. Again, that's KBOO Presents David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Romeo is Bleeding is a documentary that follows Dante Clark, a young poet transcending the violence in his hometown of Richmond, California, by writing about his experiences. Dante and the like-minded youth of the city mount an urban adaptation of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, with the hope of starting a dialogue about violence in the city. PDX Poetic Justice's John Slaughter and his group of poets will be reading some of their works before the screening. Again, that's KBOO at the Clinton screening of Romeo is Bleeding on Thursday, November 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.